5. By the way, we have youth going to camp this week. We have a student that's a staff person. Nicole is doing staff. And then Cadence is one of the campers. Be praying for our junior teen camp. And then kids camp next week. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. I know it's a big one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Interesting, very much so. What did they think when he said those words? You often wonder that? What did they really hear him say there? Well, we're going to do our best to find out. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these Beatitudes, as we used to call them. This Sermon on the Mount that began with some really incredible truths. Thank you that they're timeless. And they do not require us to be religious. They simply require us to be faithful. And there's a difference. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand what meekness is so that we can live in it, so that we can demonstrate it, so that we can be it. Help us, Lord, to understand what this is about inheritance, this earth, and how it relates to your hope and the promises you've given. I pray, God, for your anointing. And I pray, God, that you will bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Meekness. For some reason, across time and a span of years, perspectives of the word meekness have been misconstrued. And you've probably been told that as well many times over, but I'll say it once again. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness and weakness have nothing in common, to be honest with you. It's simply strength that's under control. So many times we have been portrayed as believers in Jesus, as weak people. We have been used as doormats from our society and our culture. And certainly that has not changed in our culture today, has it? If you want to see a reaction, just give a solid biblical answer to a question. And you are going to see the reaction that's going to want to come with full force against somebody who's perceived as weak. Religion is a crutch, and all of these kind of ideas. And honestly, religion is a crutch. And that's ironic. We actually have two crutches right there. Ben, would you like to demonstrate for us? No, I'm just teasing. don't get up. Ben had surgery on his foot. And how's it? Is it recovering well? You haven't been doing cartwheels yet, I assume. That's good. Well, religion is a crutch because religion is nothing more than traditions based on an idea. But true religion is what? What does James say? Taking care of widows and orphans, and it's demonstrated by caring and loving for people, right? So religion, in a false sense, is a crutch in a sense, but a relationship with Jesus Christ is far from being weakness. You have strength that is unstoppable. You have a power that Jesus has spoken of, especially through the Holy Spirit's work in your life, that is demonstrated as equal with the power of God because it is His power within you. That you can actually speak to a mountain with a small amount of faith, and I say small in a very reserved way because He's not trying to say that faith needs to be small, it needs to be pure. Doesn't matter the size of your faith, what matters is the purity of your faith. When you hear the voice of God speak and say, move that mountain, if you pray for the mountain to move, it shall move. That's the faith he's referring to. You can actually see a mountain move. And I heard a testimony from a missionary years and years ago that actually said he prayed that a mountain would move because God inspired him to do it, and the mountain did move. It was a situation where a village that was right below a great mountain during a terrible, terrible rainstorm, flash flooding was about to take place, and the mudslide was imminent. And that entire village would be covered. Those things happen. We know it, right? This missionary shared that the Lord told him to speak to the mountain that it would move the other way. And during the rainstorm, It went beyond scientific rationale that the mountain slide actually went the wrong way. The top went that way, which is incredible. How many think that's really neat? The prayer of a mustard seed faith, pure faith, but it may have been a small thing. Lord, you've just gave me this word, so mountain, be moved. And it went the other way, which is, I think, is kind of cool. So anyway, that's pretty powerful. Amen? Well, meekness is powerful. Now, did the man walk around and say, I prayed, and a mountain moved? No. He was so humble. Strength under control. Disciplined strength. Here's just a fun word for you. Strength. Anybody who can still do at 60 what he was doing at 20 wasn't doing much at 20. Come on, say amen. I came across that. I thought that was cute. Now I'm thinking back. Let's see. There's no way I'll be able to do that. There's already things I won't do. Like here at Mikoshika and these cliffs, I used to jump off those cliffs. In the Badlands, the Little Missouri campground area, we used to do horse rides. My brother and I found out when we got scared by a rattlesnake that when you turn to run, you don't run, you actually drop a long ways. And we dropped like 30 feet at a time. And it was like, awesome. So we thought let's do that again. So for the next 2 hours, we'd climb the top of the cliffs and woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Woof! And then you hit and roll, hit and roll. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't think my body can take it. Would you agree, Tina? Should I try? No. Meekness is the description of one who is not extreme, one who has a balanced temperament. All you quick-tempered people say amen. Come on. You do not have to be that way. Hallelujah. All you boilers that you boil for a week at a time and then you explode and the whole world is gone. That's me. Right? Say amen. You do not have to explode. Do not give the enemy a foothold. Meekness is a temperament that is controlled and balanced. Meekness is described by one person as a wild horse that has been broken, whereas all of its energy and power are channeled for a purpose. It's a disciplined, powerful animal. And that's who we are in Christ. We are disciplined, powerful people. Meekness includes gentleness. Yes, that's why when we have these translations that say the word gentle in the New International, New American Standard, some of these other ones, I believe they got it wrong because meekness is greater than gentleness, but they'll use it synonymously by mistake because it does include being gentle. We've heard the expression of people that are big and we call them gentle giants. Those people are meek. We should never confuse meekness with weakness. One who is meek can bear provocation. In other words, someone can sass you, they can talk back to you, they can slap your face, they can do things against you to hurt you, and you can have it happen without being inflamed. You take it without reacting. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God who allows meekness to be revealed through your spirit. One who is meek can bear that provocation and not lose his or her temper. Meekness is one who is cool when others are hot. Okay. Let's get this through. You notice in our political debates anymore, there's a lack of meekness. Amen? Everybody wants to go ranting and raving and angry and fist pumping and demonstrate. What is this with demonstrations now? It's like, I don't like you. I'm going to go demonstrate in front of your house. I'm going to toot horns, keep you up all night, things like that. And it's like, what is this? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think any Christian should get it. Amen? Truly. There's a peaceful way to demonstrate, and some of what we're seeing today is not it. Meekness. One who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one. If you have a King James Bible, you will see the word meekness used correctly. If you do not have King James, understand and know that gentleness and meekness can often be translated synonymously, even though I prefer the word meek. I think it's more accurate. Number one, let's get through these points together. Number one, the meekness of Christ. Was Jesus meek? Absolutely. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus is our example that we are to follow. Amen? Let's use him as our example. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What is this weariness and this burden that he's referring to? Well, it can mean a lot of things. But trust me when I say, if you've got a temper problem, it's a burden. I didn't hear very many amens. If you have a temper problem, it's a burden. You need to give it to Jesus. I had a bad temper. I've shared my testimony. I won't go into it now. But I do remember when my dad told me, counting to 10 is a bunch of hogwash. Counting to 10 only withholds the inevitable. If you count to 10, you're still going to be mad. So he told me, don't count to 10, pray to Jesus. And I remember the very first time after I had lost my temper in a terrible, terrible way, and I've shared it, I was going to get angry. And I had a bad temper. And when it built and when it exploded, I was scary. And my mom and dad believed when I was 12 years old, if we don't somehow help Kevin overcome this, he's going to be in prison the rest of his life. He will kill somebody. That's this person right here. I remember when it was about ready to explode, and I was justified, and I was right, and it was absolutely within my reasonable position to let it happen, and once it starts, you can't stop it. If you open the door, it's gone. And I remember praying to God, and I wasn't happy. I didn't want him to help me, but I remember Dad told me to pray. And I promised, and I'm stubborn, so I had to be true to my promise. I remember praying, God, help me. I mean, that's how it was. And I honestly, I really kind of wanted to let it happen. And that balloon that was about to pop just slowly lost its air. It didn't go, and it was gone. It was like, really slow. I was like, oh. And finally, it was gone. And the funny thing is, after it was gone, and we're talking minutes from after I thought I had justifiable reasons to blow my top, I couldn't remember why I was angry. Isn't that sad? That's so sad. To this day, I have no idea what that was that got me so justifiably riled up. Please understand, you are no different. Some of you don't have temper problems. Praise the Lord. You're going to find one of these Beatitudes that will be a challenge. Maybe this one's not so tough. That's okay. We're all different. But here we have this idea, this understanding about Jesus saying, I am meek. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you have a King James, you will see the word meek there instead of gentle, and it's the better way to look. I am meek. I am power and strength under control. Come to me and you will find rest for your soul. Are you constantly in turmoil? Is your heart constantly in anguish? Are you up and down emotionally? Then you need to find this meekness of Christ within. And you will find rest for your soul for the first time. Now, truly, Jesus is referring to the born-again experience that one might be saved, and he finishes the work on the cross. He rises again, and now we know him personally. His spirit is within. But he's teaching us this timeless lesson of how we are to be meek. And if we are, we will be blessed. And the blessing that comes is that we will one day inherit the earth. Jesus always spoke with authority. He baffled the people. Who is this man who speaks like this? Who is he? He must be really important. And then somebody around home says, well, that's just Jesus. You know, the kid that grew up in Nazareth, you know, the one that came from an adulterous thing or something. I mean, they say it's God, but yeah, right. We all know that Joseph's not his real dad. That was a public knowledge thing. Nothing good can come from here. Jesus went to his home community and they wouldn't receive his words because that's just the neighborhood boy around the block. And actually the blocks are really small, size of a football field. We actually saw the remains of it. It's like, whoa, that's it? That's all there is? He spoke with authority that no one could understand. Why? Because he's power under control. He's meek. He is strength. He's the authority of God. He is God. He is divine in every way. And yet he's still man, which is wow. Jesus was always approachable. Wow. That's a lesson we all need to hear. I know I do. Somebody asked me why I don't wear a suit and tie anymore. I didn't tell them the 100% truth. The 100% truth is I never liked wearing ties. That's kind of selfish, right? But I did it because that's what's expected. But somewhere along the way, as God is dealing with me, I realize I'm not approachable as much so as I should be. And part of that is just a fickle exterior. And so dressing down a little bit actually has helped me to have a different attitude that I didn't even know was there. And it helped you as just another one of the people of God to say, hey, we're all in this together. I want to be approachable like Jesus is approachable. There's no holier than thou stuff going on here. We're all on the same team together. I hope that's who I am to you. Jesus was definitely that. He taught us to love our neighbors as well as our enemies. Wow. He never lost his head in any situation. Even when he chased out the money changers and he took the bull whip and he cracked it a few times and he turned over those tables, he did it in anger that was still controlled. I've had people say, oh, Pastor, I'm in such big trouble. I got angry. And I said, did you sin? What do you mean, did I sin? Well, what did you do when you got angry? Well, I said, well, it says in the Bible, be angry and sin not. Come on. If you don't ever get angry, you're not human. We all get angry. But if you have the meekness of Christ, you can be angry without sin. You can have a solid temperament that even while you're angry, you will not react in a negative way and cause harm to another. That's not justifiable harm, obviously. It's sin. Jesus was angry at times. He was angry at the Pharisees. He told them they're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. They clean the outside of the cup and forget about the inside. And he was not a happy man at the time, going, oh, you guys are just whitewashed tombs. Dirty cups, you look good, but you're really filthy on the inside. I hope that doesn't make you feel too bad. No, he let them have it without sinning. He spoke with authority and with power. You can be meek as Jesus was meek. Amen? Meekness of the believer. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Now, some of you, when you're struggling with this idea of meekness, you're not struggling with the side of the temperament that wants to get angry and react and become violent or hurtful with your words. You might actually struggle with the other side of it, thinking that you have to be weak, that you have to be somehow a doormat because you're a believer, you're a Christian. That means when someone's mad at you, you just let them trample all over you and you get beat up every day. No, meekness is strength. Come on, say it out loud. Meekness is strength. Say that out loud because it means something. Meekness is strength. You are not weak. You are not a doormat. You are not to be abused by the world or anyone. So you may not have the problem that some of us had about overreacting. Maybe you are underreacting. Come on. I don't know. Maybe you've never heard that before. I didn't get any amens on that one. Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's look there. But the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yes. We went through this together last year about this time. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. I have the word gentleness here. Kind of irritates me that they did that, but I'm going to keep it under control. That was a joke. Come on. Gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You are to demonstrate meekness in your life. It's part of the fruit. And I really tried to bring this home all the time we were going through the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. It's not a bunch of fruits. Well, I get this one, you can have that fruit. I don't like this fruit, you can have that fruit. No, it's all one fruit with many characteristics. This is it. It's all one thing with many characteristics within. We all have different fruits that we enjoy to eat. Well, this is one fruit. Don't ever forget it. You cannot take only part of it. It's all or none. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The meekness of the believer. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot deny it. It's there. It's supposed to be a part of who you are in Christ. Jesus was meek. You are also to be meek. Even when you're sharing your faith with someone else, be meek. Strength under control is the best understanding of what this says. It says in verse 15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you the reason for the hope that you have, and hit him over the head with a giant Bible. No, I'm sorry, that's not what it says. Get in their face, shake your finger a lot, turn red and purple, and yell and scream. No, that's not what it says. When you give the reason for the hope you have, you do so with gentleness and respect. Or the preferred word, meekness. And respect. I don't care if what they have to say is so far from reality that it's absolutely insane. And there's a lot of that going on. Let's be honest. There's a lot of that going on. It doesn't make any rational sense, but you had better treat that person with respect. Do not disrespect the person. Meekness is respectful, even when you disagree. That's hard to do. Amen? I mean, we get a little riled up. But Jesus, as you will find whenever you read through the Bible, he doesn't ever get aggressive to the worldly people. He actually gets aggressive with the ones that are supposed to be his, the religious ones. So if you want to have the 2x4 over the head experience, just keep doing it the wrong way. Hallelujah. Whack! Oh, Lord, thank you for that. Oh, that was great. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. I've had it happen. Not in a literal way. Well, maybe. But not from Jesus, a literal way. But in a spiritual way. Sometimes we just, he's like, I've had it with you. My dad says he used to have to cut his own willow branch. Anybody here say that? Oh, wow, he had it rough. I didn't have to cut my own willow branch. Mom had a really good wooden spoon, and my dad had a belt that had no end. Well, it did. It usually had my end. I still used to, I used to laugh at my sister. Mom would say, all right, go get the spoon. Woo! she's crying the whole way. I'm like, you're wasting all those tears. I mean, just hold back for a while. Come on, you know, be tough. Well, sometimes God has to spank us a little bit. I know I've had my spankings. And spankings from a loving father are good, by the way, when they're done right. So here we have the meekness of God that we need to demonstrate in our own lives, especially when we're dealing with the world that we're trying to reach with his love. Sometimes we're going to get a little harsh, and maybe we'll get in the face a little bit when sin has to be exposed within. And there are rules for that. And I want you to understand that is part of meekness. Strength, under control, and disciplined. But it's not weakness. Now, what does it mean when we understand, okay, I get it, Jesus is meek. I should be like Jesus. Believers should be meek. I should be just like that, and that's what I've got to work on. Why does it say we will inherit the earth? Turn with me to Psalm 37, and I believe we'll get just a little picture of what that might mean. Psalm 37, verse 9. We're going to spend the next point in Psalm 37. We won't be going anywhere else. We'll just use this as our main text. Verse 9 through 11, chapter 37, Psalm. It says, evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Hallelujah. I believe that we are hearing these words expressed in reference to what would be called the promised land. You will know if you've done your studies that the promised land, the boundaries that were laid out, have never been fulfilled. To this day, Israel, as we know it, has never completely encompassed the promised land that has been given by prophecy. Much of it has from time to time, but it's never been all there at once. We do believe, as we consider the end days, that the time will come when the wicked will be taken from the earth and all of those who are alive in Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air. There's going to be that terrible tribulation, and there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and the land that has been promised will be fully complete. The wicked will not inherit, but you will. I will. All those who have been under the blood of Christ will inherit the land. Jump ahead. It says, the meek will inherit the earth. Jump ahead to 37, verse 22. Verse 22. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. What a blessing to know that those he blesses, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessings of God expressed here to those who will inherit the land. Those that he curses will be cut off. The wicked will not inherit it. It's only those who are the faithful and the true. Jump ahead to verse 29 of that same chapter. It says, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it for just a few years. No, it says forever. Forever. The promised land will be our inheritance. And you might say, well, this is for the Jews. Yeah, and aren't we the Jews? Well, wait a minute. Can you trace your lineage back to Jewish ancestry? No. Well, yeah. Kinda. I mean, I go back to Noah. How about you? Noah who begat. Here I am. Did you know that they've scientifically proven that all of humanity comes from four couples? They've actually done DNA testing. They've traced it down to four couples, which is eight people. And they're not exactly sure why it ended up that way, but I think I have an idea. Amen? Noah had three sons. Everybody had babies. And here we are. Word tells us that we are grafted into the vine. Romans tells us that the true Jew is the one who has been circumcised of the heart. And there are many times where we look to the prophecies of the old and we think that it's applying to the actual ancestry through blood, when really it's actually the ancestry through the Spirit. Will this include those who have been saved that are Jewish? Absolutely, but those of us who are grafted in are no different. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female. Have we heard this somewhere? Yes. And here we have the expression of Psalm telling us that we who are righteous, who are blessed by God, who are meek, will inherit the earth. The promise is for you and for me and all who are under the blood of Christ. We shall inherit the blessings of that promised land. Let me go back to the text and finish, because I don't think I read through what I wanted to. I'll back up once again to verse 29. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Do you like this? This is not about legalistic religious tradition. This is about the Spirit of God within. This is about a heart mode that is connected to God. The law of his God is in his heart. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, it says in verse 32, seeking their very lives, but the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Hallelujah, the promise is true. Be meek. Do not be a doormat. Don't be trampled over by the world. Don't let them tear you apart. Stand up, be strong, but do so with a disciplined, loving, gentle heart. There's a time to be firm, there's a time to be strong, and there's a time to speak. And those who are meek will know the difference. On the other hand, if you think you have lots of strength, you better back it up a little bit, because that's your flesh speaking, and you need to let the meekness of God be your strength. Don't overreact. Don't become domineering, but allow for that gentle Spirit of Christ to work through you in your strength. And we can all meet there together, whether we struggle with the weak side of what the world thinks we should be, or maybe we're just overreacting and we need to settle down. We need to come together and be meek. We need to be strength that's disciplined and under control. And I believe that's what brings the revival that the Lord has given us a vision for. We must be meek in this world of ours. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to challenge you as we go through these wonderful, blessed understandings of the attitude we should have in Christ. You need to come to Jesus. Take his yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your soul. The meekness of God within. Would you stand with me as we close?